says in Luke that every sparrow that falls to the ground, that none of them fall to the ground without the Father. And isn't it lovely that his eye is on the sparrow and he watches over our lives. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about trusting in the Lord. I believe that it's been a real blessing in my life. Just the way the Lord moves in our hearts in different ways. But I've really been blessed recently just to be able to let go of my worries and cares. And just to really reassure my heart that God knows what he's doing. Isn't that great? I was reading this week in the news about ISIS and how they're moving into Syria. And I don't know if anybody else saw that, but there was a secret clandestine meeting between ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And they decided that they're going to join forces and work together to try and take over as much of Syria and Iraq and ultimately to try and destroy Israel as possible. And I was thinking, wow, what must that feel like if I was there? They're going to specifically target the Kurds, who are traditionally a Muslim ethnic group that the Lord has really worked in, and many of them, many hundreds of them, have become Christians. And what would it be like if you were a Kurd living in northern Syria or northern Iraq to discover the news that no longer do you have two enemies, but they're going to be combined and become one enemy? And I was thinking, you know, wow, isn't that terrible? And as I just kind of thought and pondered it, I thought, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. You know, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that in the end times there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be nation fighting against nation. And, you know, none of these things surprise the Lord. Isn't it great that God is sovereign? You know, that God isn't like kind of trying to work out what's going on and trying to figure out what people are going to be doing, that God knows the end from the beginning, that we can rest in his sovereignty, that we can know that he's promised that he works all things after the counsel of his will. So whether nations come and go, whether caliphates come and go, whether armies come and go, that God is totally sovereign and in charge of the universe. And he knows exactly what he's doing, that his time frame is not been cut short or lengthened, but God's clock is ticking and it's perfectly on time. And they're just the right moment. We know that God is going to come back again. He came at just the right time as a little baby, and we know that he's going to come back again at just the right time as the conquering king of the universe. And he's going to wrap up the heavens like a garment. And it says, doesn't it, that the sun will cease to shine, and he himself will become the sun, and will worship him forever. And his kingdom will be ushered in, and all of these other kingdoms that have wrangled and sought to take authority and usurp his authority, well, those kingdoms will be destroyed, and Satan and his angels will be thrown forever in the lake of fire, and we'll be free. We'll be together forever with the Lord. It says at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, comfort yourselves then with these words. Actually, chapter 4, comfort yourselves with these words. So it's a great comfort, isn't it, that God is on the throne. I'm going to just shift this because it's really kind of bugging me. I spent nearly the whole time. Larry says I've got an English ear. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I don't think he was insulting me. But, I must have weird ears because, yeah. There we go. I think that's it. Probably too big, I suppose. All right, well, let's pray and just ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we believe that you've spoken to us already this morning just about your love and about your holiness and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, as I preach this morning, I ask you to help me. Father, I pray that my words would be Christ-honoring. Lord, I ask you to lift up the name of Jesus in our lives this morning. Holy Spirit, I just ask you for help, Lord, without your divine might in my inner man. Lord, I know that the words I say are worthless without your empowering. And so, Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you that you've promised that when we open our mouths in your name, you will fill it. And so, Father, I'm opening my mouth in your name, and I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill my mouth with your words. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 115. And so the title of my sermon this morning is Trust in the Lord. Psalm 115. We're going to read through the whole psalm, verses 1 through 18. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory, because of thy loving kindness, because of thy truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small, together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord. From this time forth, forever and ever, praise the Lord. Amen. The first thing I'd like to say is that everybody trusts in something. Everybody trusts in something. And, you know, we live, don't we, in a culture where there are all kinds of idols that people trust in. Some people trust in programs, or some people trust in medication. Some people trust in money or their own gifts and abilities. But everybody is worshipping something. We were made to worship, weren't we? And we become like what we worship. It says that right here in verse 8. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. And we know that we're becoming quickly a minority. You know, it's on our currency, isn't it? In God we trust. And I don't know how much longer it'll stay there. But we're in a minority. And we really shouldn't be surprised. Jesus warned us, didn't he? He said that narrow is the path to life. And few there are that find it. Broad is the road to destruction. And many are they that are on it. And so I want to encourage, I think particularly of young people as they seek to follow the Lord in their generation, that, you know, don't be surprised if you're the only Christian in your class. It was the case for me when I was growing up, and I'm sure it's much more the case now, that Christians, people that really love the Lord, we're increasingly becoming a minority. And, you know, that's okay. Because the darker the night, the brighter the stars shine, right? In Romans, it says that when sin abounded, grace abounds even more so. And we know that we live in a world that is fast departing from the ways of truth. And one of my jobs at school is to try and train children to be able to understand and answer people who mock them and make fun of them. I don't know if you've heard of a man called Richard Dawkins, but he's easy to find on YouTube. You can go on there and you can hear him publicly mocking Christians in front of about 10,000 people on the Washington Monument. And he encourages people to mock Christians whenever they can, whenever they have the opportunity. Make them look stupid, make them feel dumb, mock them. And encourages people to make fun of us. And that's okay. That's okay. As I was watching it, I was thinking, I wonder what's driving this man. You know, he claims to be an atheist, but I wonder if there's something inside of him that really does believe in God. I'm sure there is. And yet he hates that. And so he's given his life over to destroying Christianity, to trying to bring down the name of the Lord. Some trust in chariots, the psalmist said. Some trust in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's okay if we're on our own. Maybe at your workplace, you're the only person who trusts in Jesus. Maybe as we go through life, we feel, wow, we're kind of in a minority. That's okay. Jesus said it would be so. In this world, you will have trouble. But take courage. I've overcome the world. In the first epistle of John, John warns us, doesn't he? He says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. We can't be friends of the world and friends of God. The world and God are mutually exclusive. Verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus was saying, we can't have two masters. We can't love the world and love the Father. If we love the Father, His love for us is exclusive, and our love for Him must also be exclusive. In James 3, it says, the Spirit that dwells within us yearns with jealousy. It earnestly yearns. We live in a world where it's okay to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And Jesus said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Amen. God wants us to be separated from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I tell you, I did not have children to populate hell. I didn't have a family to see my children drift into the world. I believe that God wants us to be a separate people, a holy people. You know, I'm not really, this is kind of way off from my subject, but in Corinthians it says this, I will be a father to them, and they will be my sons and daughters. And then it says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I want to urge you this morning. You know, we have a choice. We can trust in our own clever schemes, or we can trust in the Lord. If we're going to trust in our own schemes, we're going to find that we're idolaters. And we're going to find that we're going to become like that thing that we worship. If it's popularity, if it's success, if it's money, we're going to become like what we worship. We just read that in verse 8. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in the Lord. If you're making an idol, you're going to become like the idol that you're making. There was an ancient scholar who once said this, the human heart is an idol-making factory. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, updating it. That's basically what he said. The human heart is an idol-making factory. I hope we're not going to be content to have idols in our hearts. You know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they were released, weren't they? The 10 plagues came, and the last plague, the Passover, they were sent out. And I don't understand this, but I believe it happens to us. Just within a few short days, they were making golden calves, weren't they? Moses went up to the mountain. He took longer than they expected. And Aaron said, yeah, we threw the gold in the fire and out came these golden calves. And we know that he was lying. He was trying to make things better. He actually fashioned those golden calves. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I believe that there are people in this room today that have golden calves in their hearts. I believe that we can so easily drift into idolatry. We can begin to worship our own selves, putting ourselves on the throne of our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is unwilling to share our hearts with anything. With anything. Relationships, money, success, a career. All of these things. I mean, let me ask you a question. What do you think about the most? I don't know who said it, but somebody said, whatever you think about the most, that is what you love. That is your idol. It's fun, isn't it, to win games. It's fun to win trophies. But when Jesus comes back again, do you think that the state championship will survive the fire? Absolutely not. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But oh, that we would live for eternity. That our lives would be consumed with a passion for prayer and for the things of God. Not just giving ourselves over to running to games here and there. But all that our hearts should be consumed with the things of the kingdom. Rejoicing in the success of the gospel. And the cross, Jesus rose again. Rejoicing over the blood of Jesus shed for sinners. I mean, it's great to rejoice, isn't it, over touchdowns and great things that happen. But oh God, there's a greater rejoicing in my heart. When I sing of the blood of the Lamb. When I sing of the home that we have in heaven. There's something in my heart that says, yes! God, this is it, Lord. This is what I'm living for. This is what gives me real joy and lasting joy, the things of the kingdom, the things of eternity. Oh, I ask you this morning, have you got an idol in your heart? Is there something within you that you're worshiping? Because everybody's worshiping. Even this very moment, everybody's worshiping. Matt Redman has a great song. Everybody's singing a song inside. Everybody's bowing down low with a sacrifice. If you know that song, it's a great little song, but it just says the truth. This is what this verse is saying. Everybody's worshiping. Everybody's worshiping. What are you worshiping this morning? What are you living for? What am I living for? What are we living for? The praise of men? It says in Jeremiah 17, cursed be the man who trusts in man and looks to man for his strength. Cursed be the man who trusts in man. Are you trusting in man this morning? Remember a couple of years ago I read that verse and I tell you it brought me to my knees. Cursed be the man who trusts in man. You know, if we're looking to each other for validation, we're going to be disappointed every time. If we're looking for love from each other, if we're looking for, oh, way to go, Steve, you're a great guy. If I'm living for that, that's idolatry. It's got to come down. If I'm living for the praise of men or to be accepted by one another, we're going to be disappointed every time. And God's going to bring that idol down. Amen? I don't want any golden calves in my heart. I don't want to be bowing down low on the inside, seeking, oh, I hope they like me. I hope they think I'm okay. God says, no, that's idolatry. Curse it. Cursed be idolatry. Cursed be the praise of men. Cursed be any idol that would exalt itself in our hearts against the living God. I read another verse that really shocked me the other week. It said, barely, scarcely, if scarcely the righteous will be saved, what about the unrighteous? That's a thought, isn't it? Scarcely the righteous will be saved. What about the unrighteous? What are you becoming like? Because you're becoming like something. Right? This verse says, everyone who trusts in them, they will become like them. You're either becoming like Christ, or you're becoming like your idol. We can either grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. We can become transformed, as it says in Romans 8, transformed. Romans 12, 2, transformed. Or we can become like our idols. I don't know about you. I can't see into anybody's heart. I can barely see into my own. But everybody in this room is worshiping something. every child. One of the most precious things at working at a Christian school is seeing children follow Jesus. And yeah, they're children. They make mistakes. But my greatest joy is seeing children ask the Lord into their life. Jesus, I want to follow you. Everybody's worshiping. Every child in this room, every person. We're all worshiping. What are you going to worship? If money is your God, you're going to be disappointed. It's never enough. Never enough. If it's people's praise, you'll be disappointed. It's never enough. If it's possessions, it's never enough. But oh, Jesus Christ is enough. Amen? Jesus is enough. For the aching and the longing in our hearts that we're trying to fill with other things, Jesus is enough. Amen? Oh, that God would satisfy our hearts with more and more of Himself. That we would be so in love with Jesus, wouldn't have room for idols. That our hearts would be so taken up with the things of God, those other idols would be cast away. Moses, when he came down that mountain, what did he do with those calves? He threw them in the fire, didn't he? So what we have to do with our idols, we have to throw them in the fire. Some of you remember Mr. North. I grew up with Mr. North. I heard him preach many times, visit our home, live with us for seasons. There was one time he was preaching about, I don't even remember what it was about. I'm sure it was probably about the Holy Spirit or something, or living a clean life. And I had a secret stash of music my dad didn't know about. My dad was fairly strict. my children think I'm strict. Then, well, you should have lived with my dad. He's really strict. No TV on Sundays and no games on Sundays. It's all good. But I had a secret stash of music in my room. So when my dad went out, I'd break out my, you know, you guys probably don't know what a cassette is, but back in the old days, we had cassettes. Remember those things with the, you know, the tape, and they get stuck and you try and wind them up and everything, but these guys don't know anything. But we had these things called cassettes, and my dad would go out and my mom would be gone busy and working and whatever, and I'd put in these cassettes, and I loved it. I mean, I love music. I love to just enjoy music. But as he was preaching, whew, finger of God began to point in my heart, and I knew the music's got to go. It's got to go. So I took it and I just threw it all away. I kind of, at the beginning, I thought, you know, I should probably sell this because it's worth something. And, you know, it seems such a waste. I've wasted this money on this music. And, you know, I could sell it and maybe even give a little bit to the Lord. And, you know, it would be great. And I thought, no, why would I sell it if it's idolatry to me? It's going to be idolatry to someone else. And I threw it away. And what a joy I felt in my heart. As I saw those cassettes disappear in the garbage, I thought, I don't need this stuff anymore. Maybe there's something in your life this morning that's got to go. Maybe the Lord's saying, you know, I want that out. Maybe it's a TV show or the internet. I don't know what it might be that's an idol in your life, but maybe God's saying, you know, I'm tired of that. I'm a jealous God. It's got to go. It's got to go. Amen. God wants a holy people, not a people who are mixed with the world and looking for pleasures and things of this life. Maybe God's saying, you know what? I want all of you. Amen. Let's keep going here. Verse 9. It says, O Israel, trust in the Lord. Don't trust in idols. Don't trust in the things of this world. Even if the nations say in verse 2, where now is their God? Trust in the Lord. Our God might be in the heavens, verse 3. We might not always see what He's doing. We might not understand what He's doing. But our God is in the heavens and He does whatever He pleases. Amen? God is sovereign. He could do whatever He likes. We might not understand it. We might not always agree with it or like it. But God can do whatever He pleases. Amen? If we're Christians, we must be like this. We must have a heart that says, God, do with me whatever you like. And we have great meetings, don't we? Sometimes I have big preachers come in and they preach, oh yeah, God, do whatever you like with me. And then a few weeks later, when we go through difficulties and trials, we're thinking, wow, what happened? What happened? Or our lives go by and we look back and think, wow, I didn't think my life was going to be like this. We begin to complain and grumble. Begin to question God's sovereignty and His order in our lives. God's in the heavens. He can do whatever He pleases. Amen. Our job is to just submit and surrender. Verse 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Verse 11, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. There's three times here. O Israel, O house of Aaron, and you who fear the Lord. And all of these three commands apply to us. Because we are the house of Aaron. It says in 1 Peter 3, we're priests. We're Israel. We're a chosen generation, a holy nation. We're grafted in. These commands are for us. O Israel, trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. This command is for us three times repeated. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Be different to the nations around you. Don't be idolaters. Trust in the Lord. Why? For He is our help and our shield. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Well, to trust means to have confidence. It's active. It's a verb. It means to lean on. It means to secure oneself, to throw oneself. It means that we can throw our lives on the Lord. We can cast ourselves on Him. We can trust Him. We can lean on Him. We can have confidence in Him. That whatever happens to us, that His grip on our lives is secure. Isn't that wonderful? That whatever we go through, that His grip on our lives is a steady grip. Right? Jesus said, I know I've quoted this before, but I love it. It's so reassuring, so encouraging to think about it. It says that my Father has you in His hands, and I have you in my hands. We sang about it this morning that our names are written on His hands. I mean, just think about that for a second. My name is written on the hand of God. My name is written on His hands. He's not going to forget us. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes things happen and we think, God, where are you? Have you forgotten me? And it says that in verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. Another version says, I think it's ESV, says the Lord has remembered us. The Lord has remembered us. Let's turn to Isaiah 44, verse 21. Isaiah 44, 21. Remember these things, O Jacob, and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you, you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. Amen. God will not forget us. No matter what happens, God will not forget us. It's a great reason to trust in the Lord, isn't it? God won't forget you. Another reason to trust in the Lord. Three times it says, He is their help and their shield. He is their help and shield. He is their help and their shield. God is our helper. God is our helper. He's our shield. Let's turn to Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank Him. The Lord is their strength, or the Lord is the strength of His people. He is a saving defense, or a refuge of salvation to His anointed. Amen. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Be their shepherd also, and carry them forever. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is our strength. Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a very present help in time of need. Psalm 27, Psalm 46 are full of incredible promises. The Lord is our helper. He's our shield. Fred Thomas, there's lots of different verses we could go to, but about shields, many times repeated over and over in Psalms. Also Ephesians 6:16. Now Paul tells us, doesn't he? Above all things, raise up, lift up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. There's going to be flaming missiles. Fiery darts, so King James has it. There's going to be fiery darts. There's going to be flaming missiles. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And the Holy Spirit encourages us to raise up the shield of faith. We can extinguish not just some of the fiery darts, some of the flaming missiles, but all of the flaming missiles. I want to encourage you this morning to raise up the shield of faith. The Lord is thy strength and salvation. Whom shall you fear? He is your help. He is your strength. He is your Savior. We could think of Proverbs 3:5, right? Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct your paths. Incredible promises for people who will trust in the Lord, who will say, no, I don't want any more idols. I don't want any more golden calves in my heart. I want to have a clean heart. I want to have a pure heart, not mixed with the things of this world. But I want a heart that's entirely devoted over to Jesus. And God says, oh, that's the kind of heart that I'm looking for. Remember David? A man after God's own heart. Why? Because he didn't have any idols. He made lots of mistakes. But he hungered and thirsted and followed after the Lord with all of his heart. Incredible, isn't it? In the old covenant even, how much more should we? This wonderful new covenant with all the promises that God has given us, how much more should we have single hearts for Jesus? Let's look at the promises. We'll jump back to Psalm 115. We'll just finish up. We're going to look at some of the promises that God gives to those who will trust Him. In verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He's remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. That's us. He will bless the house of Aaron. That's us. He will bless those who fear the Lord. That's us. Three times. Three times it says, trust in the Lord. Three times it says, He is your help and shield. And three times it says, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. You know, there's nothing that we can give up. There's nothing that we could sacrifice. There's nothing to compare with this blessing. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. Four times it's repeated. God says, I'm going to bless my people. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless you in your trials. I'm going to bless you in your difficulties. I'm going to bless you when you have to give up things for me. I'm going to bless you, my people, because I love you. The sheep of my pasture. Hallelujah. There's nothing that we can sacrifice. There's nothing that we can give up. We can never outgive God. Amen? There's no relationship. There's no music, no band we could give up, no sport we could give up. Down through history, we've read books, haven't we? We've read God's Word. We see that throughout history, God calls His people to give up things. God says, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. Amen? We can never outgive God. And what's the greatest blessing? We know it, don't we? What's the greatest thing God can give us? Himself, right? Genesis 12, surely I will bless you. I will be your shield. Same word, I'll be your shield and your exceeding great reward. I will bless you. Amen. Christian life is sacrifice. Tom said it a few weeks ago. Church is sacrifice. A joyful giving up of ourselves for Jesus. You can look at it in lots of different ways. We can talk about the crucified life, giving up self, dying to ourselves. It's the same thing. Giving up idols, letting the Lord destroy idols in our life. Amen. And the incredible thing is that as we find, as we give up these idols, we think it's such a great loss. But actually, there's a great joy that comes. I've just been discovering that the last few weeks as I've given things up and the Lord's put His finger on things in my life. And what joy fills my heart. What a joy. As we go on with the Lord, that He begins to give us a deeper joy, a greater love for Himself. That's why I believe Paul prayed over and over again for the churches in Colossians and Philippians at the beginning in the first chapter. He says, oh, that they would grow and abound in love. And grow in love. God wants us to grow. One of the theme verses for our church is 2 Peter 3:18. That you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing we can give up. Nothing we can give up that compares with knowing Jesus. Amen. Let's just close and we'll look at some of these blessings. Verse 13. He will bless those who fear the Lord. The small with the great. Maybe you're thinking, I'm just a small one. I'm not a great one. Hallelujah. I'm just an ordinary person. The small with the great. May the Lord give you increase. Amen. This is what the Lord wants to do in your life and in my life. Give us increase. And not just for you, but you and your children. Isn't that wonderful that God wants to bless our children and our grandchildren? And our great-grandchildren, even a generation yet to come. 15, may you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord. Man, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're dead. Maybe your soul is dead and you can't praise the Lord. You can ask Him, Lord, make me alive in Christ. Nor do any who go down into silence. I hope you're not a silent one. Oh, God wants us to praise Him, doesn't He? Verse 18, but as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Amen? As for us, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for us, we will bless the Lord. I hope that's your heart this morning. As for me, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. Didn't have time to go into Psalm or Isaiah 43 and 45, but the Lord's really been encouraging me about trusting Him. Trust Him when you can't see in the darkness. It's a beautiful verse in 43 verse 16. I will guide you. I will lead you in the darkness. I won't forsake you. I will bring light to the dark places. Trust me. In 45:3, it says that I will be a guide to the blind. I will give them treasures in the darkness. Amen? Are we willing to trust the Lord when things don't make sense, when we feel like we're walking in the darkness? And God says, oh, trust me, I'll give you treasures in the dark places. Beautiful verse, if you get a chance, look at it. Isaiah 45 verse 3. This is the God that we serve. The maker of the heavens and the earth. He's in the heavens, He does whatever He pleases. And we can trust Him that He does all things well. No good thing will he withhold, Psalm 84 tells us, from him who walks uprightly. God is faithful. Are you willing to trust him this morning? Are you willing to ask him to take down the idols, tear them down, throw them in the fire, burn them up, and have a single-hearted devotion for Jesus? I think that's what we really want. It's what we're really looking for. When these things happen, and we surrender afresh, oh God, come and take it all. What a joy it is. What a relief to let go. What a relief to lay down our idols and our agendas and say, God, we just come and take it all. Just come and have your way in my life. I've really been blessed the last few weeks just to know that, God, you've got it covered. You know what you're doing. I have no idea sometimes what's going on. But Lord, you know what you're doing. And I can trust you. And what a relief that is. Amen. Amen. I think we'd be good to close in prayer. I want to sing a song we haven't sung for years. It's called, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Sue, if you could come out. It's 91 in the gold. It's in the, Dan, I put it in the thing this morning. But, "Tis So Trust to Sweet in Jesus." It's a beautiful song. And as we sing it, I want to encourage you to really respond in your heart to the Lord. You know, God is sovereign, but we have to respond. I mean, over and over in Scripture, you know, we see that God calls us to respond to Jesus. And I just encourage you, I was thinking it'd be good to actually name some things. You know, if the Lord's spoken to you this morning, and they've spoken to my heart, let's be specific. Lord, I need to trust you in my work situation. I need to trust you for my future. Lord, I need to trust that my past is buried in the cross and it's not coming back again. Lord, I need to trust you for salvation. Let's be specific this morning and really ask the Lord. Maybe you're worried about the future. You know, I worry about the future sometimes. Sometimes I worry about my health. You know, what's going to happen? The doctor said, I'm going to go deaf. What's going to happen? Is the doctor true, or shall I believe in God? You know, what's going to happen with my life? You know, sometimes we can worry about our children or about finances. I think it'd be really good to be specific this morning. I'm not asking you to shout it out loud so we can all know what your problems are. But let's pray. And ask all, let's just maybe take a couple of minutes of quiet and just maybe there's something specific that the Lord's saying, you know, I want that golden calf to go. I want to burn that up in your life. I want it gone. I'm tired of it. So let's just respond. We'll just have some quiet and then I'll pray. And then maybe Sue, you could start playing that song as we're just in quiet. Father, we ask you, Lord, to go through our hearts. And Lord, to remove every idol in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to be a people with clean hearts and clean hands, Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would burn up any golden calves in this church, Lord. Whatever they are, Lord, we pray that you would burn them up in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our faith and trust in you. Lord Jesus, we just say this morning as your people, we trust you for the future. Lord, we trust you for the past. Lord, we trust you for the circumstances of our lives today. Amen, Lord. You are more than capable. Lord, you're more than able. Hallelujah. Lord, you are capable, Lord, so far beyond what we can ask or think, of taking care of our little lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Father, we praise you this morning. Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen, Lord. We trust in you, O God. Amen.